bid you welcome in the Savior's precious and worthy name. We're going to sing together as we come to God's house for the worship of the Lord, Psalm 46. And we're singing together the opening five verses and then 10 and 11. God is our refuge and our strength in straits at present aid. Let's rise to sing. Our psalm for today, Psalm 13. We come to the next psalm. Let's hear the word of God, these few short words, really, six verses in total. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Even after all the questions, some have called this the how long psalm. as the psalmist is asking the Lord, how long, how long? He comes to this conclusion of trust in God's mercy and rejoicing in God's salvation and singing to the Lord. Why? Because he has dealt bountifully with me. Let's seek the Lord together. Our Father, we seek thee in this time of public worship, as the church meets, as a collective body of Christ, we come together in the worthy and the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, the sole King and only Head of the Church. We're glad that we're members one of another, and God has placed us in the body where he wants us to be. We pray that thou wilt help us in our worship of God today. For of ourselves we are weak and frail human beings. We need God's strength. We need God's might. We need direction. We need our thoughts brought into subjection. We pray for our hearts to be touched by the Lord. Kindle a fire within. Oh God, deliver us from coming to the house of God with a cold heart, with an indifferent spirit. Deliver us, Lord, just going through the motions of a meeting. What a tragedy if we came to the house of God this day and that's how it was for us. But Lord, we want true life within. We want a mind that is set upon God. We want a heart that is running after God, panting after God, as the psalmist spoke about. We pray that our desires will be spiritual as we meet here, to meet with Christ in his word, to hear from God, even in the lines of the hymns that we sing, in the reading of your word, and in the preaching of it, that we might meet with God principally and hear from heaven. You know the condition of every heart, and you know the circumstances of every home. And Lord, we pray that in a very personal way, you will come near every individual in this meeting today, and that you will have a word for them, that you will speak to them. For those that are burdened, Lord, ease the burden. Casting our burdens upon the Lord, we know that he sustains us. Casting all our care upon Christ, we know that he cares for us. And so teach us to bring our burden to the Lord and leave it there. You know the sick of the congregation and those that sorrow today. We commit them in love to thee. Pray for our brother John, our beloved elder in this church. You know the diagnosis that he has received. We pray that thou wilt give him strength, that thy presence will go with him. We pray for Brian, who's been in hospital, that you will mend the body there as well and raise him to health and strength again. We pray for our sister Joan, that the good hand of the Lord will be upon her in the midst of her weakness, and that thou wilt touch her this day with your strength. We think of Chrissy going for surgery tomorrow and later on for chemotherapy. Be with this young man and bless him and bring him through. You know his needs physically and spiritually. We commit him to thee. We think also of Sasha over there in Ukraine, sustaining these injuries in the war. We pray that you'll be pleased to touch him and raise him up to health and strength. Lord, we're glad that you spared his life. Things could have been so different today. We know that. Do be with him. Remember this week, Lord, as we come to serve the Lord in so many ways in this house, pray for the Hebron Tots in the morning, that you'll bless the witness there. Remember the final night of Youth Challenge on Tuesday as the children come to sit beneath your word. Lord, make it a very powerful night, with the Lord's presence, with help given particularly to the one who will bring the gospel message. We pray for this upcoming generation in our town, that you will help us to reach them with the gospel, and in reaching the children, that we might reach families, parents, and other members of their home as well with the glorious gospel. We pray that you'll remember our Sunday school social on Friday night. We know that this is also a great opportunity in the gospel, as not only the children gather, but parents and family members come in. Lord, give us a good night. Help the children as they take part. We pray that you'll help us to bring the message. May God be glorified. We're longing for a visitation of God in all of our meetings. We think of the gospel meeting tonight. Lord, bring the people in. Think of all the housing estates round about here. Think of the thousands of people that live in Ballymoney. Lord, bring them in under the sound of the word and save them by your matchless grace. Bless our students today. Bless those that have come through college and are serving the Lord in the mission field as well. We think of Noreen, we think of Armin, we think of Alejandro and Joshua. Bless them in their ministries today. We think of Johnny, and we pray that soon God will open the door for him. We pray for David and for Greg also today. We commend them to your grace. You know all that's happening in the lives of our church families, and you know those that need the Lord particularly today. Draw graciously near. Hear these our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a great theme, as you'll see in this hymn 247. 'Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. And that is the theme, the grand theme, the great theme. He's able. And let's sing it to the praise of God's glory. Let's rise to our feet as we sing. Good to have you in God's house today, and to the congregation we say welcome in the Savior's name. To those that are joining us on the internet, welcome to you also. May you be blessed at home as you tune in. The gospel meeting is tonight at 7, and I want to speak on Demas, the preacher who forsook the work for the world. And there is a very powerful message here that we ought to hear. We trust you'll come back. Bring others with you. One bring one. You could bring another one tonight. Or two bring two. No, one bring two. You could bring two. But get people in under the sound of the word this evening. the time of prayer as we seek God on behalf of the meeting at 6:30. We commend this to you, child of God. Refreshments will be served after the meeting tonight. On Monday morning, the Hebron Tots meets from 10 o'clock through to 12 noon. Tuesday night is the final evening of the Youth Challenge. That's at 6:30, a little bit earlier. Please note the time. It's the special Easter one that has been organized. There will be some games with the children this time, crafts, songs, snacks, and the Easter Bible story will be told. So this is the wee invitation that you can share on social media and just let people know about Tuesday night. Thursday night is the midweek service at 8 o'clock for Bible study, prayer, and fellowship. So good to see the prayer room filled on Thursday night last. Keep it up. Let's keep pressing the matter to the gates of prayer and look to the Lord for his mighty power in these days. Friday night is the Sunday School Social at 7:30. And this is the wee invitation that is being shared on social media. But there are also these ones, and all the children have got them. And there's some extra copies if you would like to distribute them to others. We want parents to come. We want grandparents to come. We want family members to come, friends to come. We want you to come. This is your church. This is your Sunday school children that will be taking part. And I know that you'll take an interest in them, and you'll plan to be with us, if at all possible, on Friday night. We trust that you will come. Supper will be served afterwards. And to that end, ladies, we need you to help out and to bring 3/4 of a loaf of sandwiches and 1.5 dozen buns on Friday evening. Saturday, the open air in the center of the town at 11 o'clock. Next Lord's Day, the prayer meeting, 8 o'clock. Sunday school, 10:30. Bible class, 10:45. Calvary covers it all. Studies in Isaiah 53. Mervyn is the speaker from next week for the month of April. And the first message is the man of Calvary revealed. Worship service then follows at 12. And after that, the Lord's table, receiving it of new members. In the evening time, the special prayer meeting for the office bearers. Every time we have the Lord's table on that particular Lord's Day, our session and committee come to pray an hour before the regular prayer meeting. Family and friends then, next Lord's Day evening at 7, Derek Preston coming to give his testimony, prayer meeting beforehand. Derek will relate his conversion story, but also the triumph of divine grace through cancer and COVID. These are the invitations. You've maybe got them. You've maybe already done your work. The one bring one. Who will you bring next Sunday night? How many will you bring? But even if you bring one, that's the plan at these meetings. We would appreciate that. Get them under the sound of the word. It is so important. Supper will be served, and ladies, we're asking you again to help out with this. Half a loaf of sandwiches this time and 1 dozen buns. Easter celebrations. We have our choir doing the special Easter cantata, and that will be on the 6th of April at the regular Thursday night meeting at 8 o'clock, and then the following Lord's Day at the noon service, the worship service, the 9th of April, and again the invitation that we've made available for you to distribute and to give out to others. Will you please do that? And Thursday night is open to everyone. It's not just for our congregation. Both times are open to everyone. So we want folks to know about this. We have put some of the invitations in envelopes for some of our local churches. If you can help out with that, and you have a family member, a friend, or someone that you can pass this on to and get the invitation out to these churches about the cantata events, that would be a great assistance to us. Easter Convention at the Martyrs. Friday night is Youth Focus at 8 o'clock. Saturday night is Missionary Rally at 7:30. Monday evening at 8 o'clock is the convention rally. Just for the benefit of our Ukrainian friends, some of them are away today with Donald at another meeting, so we think of them too in their absence. We have a special time of preaching in the month of April. It's not too far away now, the 16th to the 21st, and the 16th is the Lord's Day. So beginning on the Lord's Day morning at 12, then the 7 o'clock meeting, then Monday to Friday, Dr. David Castles will come to speak on the old rugged cross, the importance of the cross in the life of the believer. We want you to pray about that week and plan to be there every night if you can. Let the Bible speak then, the 50th anniversary. We're keeping this live before you because it's not very far ahead. Friday the 14th of April, 8 o'clock, Reverend Greer being the preacher and our choir singing and the ladies helping out with supper that night, and everyone is welcome. Please continue to remember, if you've got books at home, get them in for the Kenyon bookshops. This appeal is being made to you and hopefully in all of our congregations throughout Northern Ireland. If anyone is seeking baptism, we're planning, if there are those that are exercised this way, to have a baptism service on the 9th of May. We've been asking you to pray for the sake of the church, and we have added some names this week to that. John McCauley, little Noah, who had a hospital visit, Brian Watton, who was in hospital. We mentioned these on Thursday night to you. Davy Davison, Rachel Park, Nastia, young Nastia, Boschko, we were praying for Nastia this week, and Sasha Melnick, Banya's brother, over in Ukraine, who sustained the injuries one night as the Russians came with their drones and they dropped the grenades. He and his colleagues were in the trenches, and sadly he suffered injuries in his legs, his arms, his back, his liver, and had to have surgery to remove all the pieces of metal. He's had a second surgery this week, and we're just looking to the Lord for his recovery. There was the witness made yesterday in Belfast. Scripture says, "Thou shalt not kill." And you'll see from some of the banners there, "Unborn Lives Matter." So we pray that that witness will be owned of God, and that there will be those that will sit up and listen to what God teaches in his word about these things. We've asked you to pray for the youth challenge and the final meeting now coming up on Tuesday night. Over in the Philippines, I got this sent to me just at the weekend. Our brother, the Reverend Nombre, has had the opportunity to go out into the community and to gather these people together and to preach the word to them. The seed is being sown and a great work is being done. We're thankful to the Lord. Continue to pray for Ukraine. We've mentioned particularly Sasha, that you'll remember him as he recovers from his injuries. And then these projects, that's the greenhouse being built, that's the fence being erected to stop the cattle coming in, so that the fruit trees can be planted and food can be given then, grown and given to the poor. And this is Pastor Bebe, who has been so instrumental in getting all these things done. We did make an appeal. We didn't make much of an appeal about it, didn't say much about it, to get him a new vehicle to help transport the children in. And thankfully, the Lord has brought in about two-thirds of that, and we're so thankful to those who have contributed. The meals for the poor is going on. This was yesterday, as they received a hot meal, and then out into the mountains as well, where the gospel was preached. And these folks heard the message and received a little bundle of food as well. Tithes and offerings are due in just now. We're going to sing together. Today is home mission envelopes. And as we receive our offerings given to the Lord, we're going to sing the hymn 207, "Oh, this uttermost salvation. 'Tis a fountain full and free, pure, exhaustless, ever-flowing, wondrous grace. It reaches me, it reaches me, it reaches me, wondrous grace. It reaches me."
Oh,
keep our seats, and those that know the hymn, sing it out as best as you can. As we pray for our brother John, there's a little thing come up on social media this morning about Aline. Now, I'm going to have to ask her if it's true that she has a significant birthday today. Is that right? She's going red, so it must be. So, Aline, whatever that birthday is, and it's all over social media, congratulations on reaching a landmark in your life, and may you know God's blessing today. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, comes to the next message now in our study, and we're going to read this wonderful account, this story of the young man, graciously, wonderfully, powerfully delivered by Christ from the powers of the devil. Verse 14, and we'll read to verse 27. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" One of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him, and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And we'll end the reading there at verse 27. And we'll mention the next couple of verses in a moment or two. But let's pray together. Let's seek the Lord just for a moment, please. Heavenly Father, we're bowing in the presence of the one who is almighty. Almighty to do all things. And if thou canst believe, and we've read it here, all things are possible to him that believeth. We pray for the increase of our faith. The disciples, in a time of need, feeling the weakness of their own faith, they prayed to Christ, Lord, increase our faith. And Lord, we would pray the same prayer today. Increase my faith. Give me faith that believes. We think of that great chapter 11 in Hebrews, where it speaks about faith. And we know that it's impossible to please the God that we serve and worship if we do not have faith. They that come to him must come believing, believing that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so, Lord, shut us in with yourself as we deal with this wonderful passage of Scripture and we think of what Christ is able to do in the life of any person. Lord, may our faith be increased to believe he's able to do it today. Hear this, our prayer, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Putting a title on my message today as we think of this passage of Scripture, and the title is very simply, Satan's Grip Can Be Broken and Sinners Set Free. Sometimes we wonder why our loved ones do not get saved. They seem so unbreakable, so far gone, way into sin, far from God. They seem to be unreachable, even disinterested in the things of the Lord, and they're hardened. And you know, it's true that sometimes we wonder about those who come and sit in our meetings on a Sabbath morning, gospel meeting in the evening time, and we wonder why some of you do not get saved, but you choose to stay in your sin and your rebellion against God. You come to the meetings, you hear the message of the gospel being presented to you, and you're brought nigh, you're brought so near to the kingdom of God. Sometimes you're so near and yet at the same time so far away, and we wonder in our hearts, will you ever come? Will you ever be saved? Indeed, we wonder, are you beyond redemption? And you've crossed the line of mercy. And for all we know, you've committed the unpardonable sin of which the Bible speaks. And yet the fact is that the hardest man or woman can be broken. And we are reminded in the 23rd verse that Jesus said, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. The humanly impossible is possible with God. A Bible example is recorded here. Perhaps none were further away from God. None were more unbreakable and hell-bound than those that were under Satan's dominion. Indeed, those that were possessed by evil spirits in the days of Christ. Here's a lad who has been fettered by demonic power since he was a child. The case seems to be hopeless. His father is so burdened for him. As you can imagine, you think of the turmoil he must have been in. You must understand the pain that he felt. And for years, unable to do anything to relieve his child from the condition that he was in. To hold his delirious boy, and it was his only child in his arms. That child calling out to his father for help, as if he were at a distance, beating the air, beating himself, the child tormented and yet unable to reach him, unable to cross the abyss, the great distance that there was between him and his father. His father did all that he could, I know that, to see to it that his child was cured. We're not told the actual history, but I think we can presume that this father did all that he could. How many physicians did he visit? How many consultants did he go and see? How many experts did he get involved in the case of his child? How many prayers did he offer? How many exorcists from the Jewish people did he seek? And he waited long and he expected, but all to no purpose. And now he brings his child to the Lord's disciples, hoping now at last a remedy would be found, but he meets with disappointment. They could do nothing. Finally, when all other means are exhausted, he meets the Christ of God, and a cure is achieved, and the boy is delivered and freed from Satan's bondage. It really is a remarkable, a wonderful story. And we're thinking about what I believe is a very powerful application for us today. As I want to remind you, Satan's grip can be broken, and sinners can be set free. Will you notice with me the hard case? Because it was a very difficult case that is brought to the Lord here. Look at verse 17. Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. The opening part of verse 18. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. Take in verse 20 as well. They brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Satan has come upon this boy. He has brought him under his dominion. Evil spirits, by permission, always by permission, afflicted men's bodies and minds in various ways. We think of the woman that we read about in the scripture who had an infirmity for 18 long years that caused her to be stooped down. She could not in any wise lift up herself, that physical deformity that she had. We think of the demoniac of Gadara. A legion of devils had come to inhabit his body and to overrun his mind and his life. He was a man that was insane. He had left the normal abode of where people lived and gone to dwell among the tombs, the Bible tells us. He cut himself with stones. He was completely out of his mind. That's how demonic activity affected his life. Other demons caused dumbness, blindness, deafness, and sometimes a combination of those things, as we have it here in the lad. For he had a deaf and a dumb spirit. Matthew calls him a lunatic. He may have had some mental trouble also. And as you look at the case of the child and you read the descriptions that are given here in this gospel and the other gospel narratives, you have to say it was very sad. A deplorable condition. Awful. When this boy fell into a fit, he went speechless. He was so overtaken with the violent spirit that he could not talk and he could not hear. So violent were the convulsions that they almost pulled him to pieces. It was frightful to watch. He foamed at the mouth. He gnashed with his teeth in great pain and misery. And it left him so weak, so feeble, so drained. And the case is so hopeless and hard. You might say impossible. And indeed very sad. Apparently some demons were stronger than others. I think we see that taught in the scriptures. When you think of a verse like Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, where Paul says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We see there's a multiplicity there of demons of perhaps various ranks and various strengths. The father is heartbroken. Can you imagine a more wretched and a hopeless case than what we read about here. And yet, is it not so that some of our loved ones are like this? Oh, not to the same extent as the child, but there definitely is a parallel. There's an application here. They're under Satan's dominion. They're held by many a snare. They're far from God. We say that the case has reached a place of hopelessness, and we are burdened, and we are broken for them, and we wonder, could they ever be saved? Isn't that right? They seem so hard for different reasons. Some are so overrun by the devil, so sinful, so gripped by worldly pleasure. They're more interested in pubs and nightclubs and that kind of lifestyle. Some are hardened by foul language. They are slaves to their language. Some are hardened in an anti-gospel attitude. Some are hardened in unbelief, hardened in pride, hardened in Christ rejection. They have become gospel hardened. Some are so disinterested. Oh, they were one time interested in the things of God, but there's no interest whatsoever now. And Satan has them blinded. He has them snared. He has them bound. And that's true for some of our loved ones. Isn't that right? And then as we think of people who attend our services here, Sabbath by Sabbath, year after year, is it not true that some of you are so hard and you're getting harder? You're hardening yourself against the gospel and against God himself. Oh, there was a time when you used to be soft and you could talk to you about the things of God and you even discussed spiritual matters and your need of Christ, but not any longer. And how long did Satan afflict this young man? In verse 21, as the question is asked by the Lord, how long is it ago since this came to him? He said, of a child. From he just a wee fella. Not surprising how easily Satan can get into the life, even if one so young. And you know, he'll take your child away from God. As Christian parents, we need to be aware of that. I think we do understand that. But Satan will take your child away from God. He will take your child away from church where there is an influence as they come and sit and listen under the means of grace. He'll do that. And Satan will take your child away from Sunday school and from youth fellowship and all those things that are an influence to them, and he'll take them into the world. And maybe that's happened already. And maybe it's happened to some that are sitting here. And so we have to say, as we look at the story, the case is hard. So hard. And then in verse 18, the end of the verse, we see the helpless disciples. Look at it there. I spake, says this father, to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. What words are these? Could not. Oh, they had success before. The very same disciples, not long before this, worked miracles. They cast out many devils. Chapter 6 of this gospel and verse 13 tells us that they did. And they tried to do the same again. But they could not. They met with failure. It was too hard for them. Christian workers and preachers face the same dilemma. We often feel so helpless when confronted with hard cases. God has called us to preach the word. He's called us to win others to Christ. Think of that little exhortation that says, oh, they're saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire that we have in the book of Jude. And we have had success in the past. And we have had power. And we have had influence. And we have witnessed souls delivered from Satan. But then we get to the place where these men have got to. We meet with failure. We have done all that we could. And we have no more power. We have nothing else that we can do. We've done everything that we can. And we come to this place of powerlessness. and we bring them to the gates, the very gates of glory. But we can't press them through. It was a humbling experience for these disciples. It was a lesson that was being taught here by the Lord. Without me, you can do nothing. And a lesson that we must learn. We are weak. We are unstable. We're helpless without him. So often we are apt to self-praise that whenever we do have some success, oh, we get puffed up with pride and we rejoice, yes, in the way that God has used us. But instead of giving God the glory, we steal the glory from him. That happens. And then we come across failure time and time again. Jesus told them privately the reason for their failure. And you have that in verses 28 and 29. When he was come into the house, the disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. You see, this case was harder. It was deeper. It was stronger. And there needed to be a greater spiritual effort and conflict. And so it is with us. When we have done all that we can do, we need to let God do what God is going to do. We need to get before him in prayer and at times fasting as well. Cry to him in the midst of our helplessness. The helpless disciple so often describes us. Look at verse 22. Because we have hell's desire. His father describing the condition of the boy and what the devil did to him. Oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Oft times. I read that and I feel to myself it's not just once into the fire and once into the water, but this was many times the devil tried to take his life by casting him into the fire and into the water. Sought to destroy him. The devil aims to ruin souls forever. And no doubt it was Satan's intention to kill this lad, and he employed these two ways. What is Satan's desire for our families? You ever think about that? Well, I want to tell you to take them to hell. He wants to destroy them. What is Satan's desire for you who sit in this meeting, unconverted this very day, without Christ and without hope in this world? What does the devil want to do to you? He wants to destroy you. He wants to damn you in the lake of fire. Satan is not out to do you good, you know. He's not called the great red dragon for nothing. That's one of the descriptions given to us to denote the ferociousness and the evil intent of the devil. His only intention is malice and hatred towards you. He wants company in hell. And if he can cut a man off before he repents and seeks the Lord, he will. If he can cause some accident, if he can bring some calamity, if he can bring some murderer along, he'll employ every means possible to take our loved ones out into eternity. I look into hell today and I see the souls of men whom Satan has been instrumental in hastening to their death. Some by crime, some by violence, some by murder, some by immorality, some by alcohol, some by drugs, these things. If Satan can get to your loved one and get them to death, he will, with all speed. If he can take them into eternity before they meet with Christ in redemption and salvation, he will. It is the great and the grand adversary of the souls of men that desires to take them to the pit of hell itself. He has no other desire. He has no other plan. He has no other intention than their destruction. And you and I need to know that. Do not be ignorant of the devil's devices. It is with such knowledge that your steps should be quickened to get them to Christ, to be more fervent in prayer, to be more faithful at the prayer meetings where you can bring their case to the Lord, to be more zealous in your witness to them. Satan desires the destruction of your child, the destruction of your loved one, the destruction of your friend. And you know, I pray today in the light of that, oh God, open my eyes to see with clarity. Open my eyes to understand the devil's intent. And then, Lord, give me a burden that will bring me to pray and even to fast at times. Because we read here, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Hell's desire to destroy. And then we have in verse 25 through to verse 27, heaven's power. Here's the Lord stepping in. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. That's verse 27. Verse 25. When Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that they said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. The spirit which so long had afflicted this young man, and which was too strong for the disciples, is at once cast out by Christ. He speaks with mighty authority, and Satan at once obeys. It is effectual. Satan had to go. The words of Christ were very powerful and authoritative. He rebuked the foul spirit. It's a word of command from the lips of the mighty Christ. I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And Satan is at once defeated. There's none too hard for him. You want to learn this? You want to learn it well? Jesus Christ still lives. We'll be coming at Easter time to proclaim that Jesus lives. And the cantata will sing all about it. We're looking forward to that. But we need to know every week, every day, not just at Easter, our Savior lives. He's still the same today. He's almighty. And he holds all power. When all else fails, he cannot. We must come to him by faith, to the mighty Christ. Our preaching, our persuading, our reasoning, our pleading, our begging and demanding will never save souls, but Jesus can speak the word. Your loved one might be held in Satan's mighty grip. They are chained and they are fettered in the house of the strong man, but Jesus can set them free. He can speak the word of power and dominion and set the prisoner free. Oh, that we would believe that today. What would Jesus say to you, dear parent, as we have it here? Bring him to me. Bring him to me. There is no case too hard or impossible, but you can bring it to Jesus. Bring him to me, he says. Dear mother, your child is held fast in Satan's snare. Bring that dear one to Christ in prayer right now, where you are sitting in the pew. Bring him to Christ. Dear Father, bring your son to Jesus, though he seems to be utterly given over to vice and sin. Bring him to Christ. Bring him unto me. Bring your son. Bring your daughter. Bring your wife. Bring your husband. Bring your brother, your sister. Bring your aged grandparent or even parent. Bring your friend. Bring him unto me. That's what the Lord wants us to do. And what of you, poor sinner, out of Christ today, held in the clutches of the devil? Satan is strong. He's busy in your life. He's active. He's malicious. He has been blinding you all these years. He has been preventing you from coming to the Savior. He's been holding you in his grasp. He has been snaring you every time you've heard the gospel. He has been keeping you in your sin. Oh, such power and might that belongs to the devil. But Satan to Jesus must bow. Christ is able to save to the uttermost all that come. He can set you free. There is not a sinner but Jesus can set that sinner free. There's not a sin but he can break that sin in a person's life. So therefore, turn to him, and turn to him immediately. Then it will be liberty from bondage, from your weary load. Satan's slave no longer, now a child of God. You will come to experience heaven's power. May that be so for those of you who sit here or listen in today and you're chained and fettered by the evil one and your sin. May you come to the mighty Christ. We would bring you to the Lord today, and we pray that the Lord will break the chains that bind you, and those chains that are chains of sin that tie you to the world, and break them today so that you might be set at liberty and know the power of heaven in your soul. May the Lord be pleased to speak to every heart. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we rejoice today that Satan's grip can be broken and sinners can be set free. And we've seen this illustrated in a very powerful way in the story of the lad whose father brings him to Christ. And Lord, by faith, we bring our loved ones to Christ. And we hear the Lord say to us, bring him to me. And we want to obey in that. We want to get to the place of prayer, for that's how we bring our loved ones to Christ. We bring them by faith. We bring them by prayer and supplication. And Lord, may we see the power broken and sin destroyed and the devil defeated. And men and women who have been bound and chained and fettered to the devil set free for the glory of God. Lord, you're able to do it. Pray for that son and that daughter, that wife, that husband, maybe a mother or father, some other dear one in the family, some friend. And Lord, they're just like this lad. They're under the control and the domain of the evil one. We believe with all of our hearts you can set them free. You can break the chains that bind them. Lord, will you do it today? Will you do it even now in this meeting? Oh, work with power. May they meet the mighty Christ who can speak the word and set them free for Jesus' sake. Amen. The hymn 617 reminds us that all things are possible to him that can in Jesus' name believe. Lord, I no more thy name blaspheme, thy truth I lovingly receive. I can, I do believe in thee. All things are possible to me. Let's sing it and be blessed by it as we do. We'll rise to sing. Thank you. So, Father, dismiss us from the house of God today with your word living in our heart, with the application of the Holy Spirit in our minds today, that we might know and understand what God is saying. And, Lord, give us faith to believe that thou art able to do all things. We pray that we'll be taken from the house of God today, energized to do the will of God and to see men rescued from sin and brought away from the dominion of the devil. Separate us with your blessing now in Jesus' worthy name. Amen. As you sit down, as we close, if there's anyone you need to talk to me about anything spiritual particularly, please don't go away without the Lord today. We can help you. We have some of these invitations for the cantata for the local free Presbyterian churches, and if you can get them into the hands of others, then please see me about that as well. Thank you.